A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees, does God see. Because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest, who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
My shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay in his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the man who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now, the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered them and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see.' So your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have worn glasses since I was in about second grade. If I take them off, they'll disappear. Really, it's like this huge blur, one color blending into the other. And if y'all kept really, really quiet and still, I might not even know you're there. It's pretty bad. It's a problem of physics and of optics. You know, the light comes down, but the lens of my eye doesn't quite focus it properly for me to see. For those of you who have perfect vision, if you've ever seen in a movie or a TV show when they rack the picture out of focus and everything gets super blurry, that's how I see all the time without my glasses. I mean, I might even, in Jesus' day, when he walked the face of the earth, been considered blind, because at this distance, I can't even see my own hand without my glasses. But with the help of my glasses, the light is bent into a path that enables me to properly see what's really there. Well, in just such a way, we all go through life not quite clearly seeing the light of God in the world, each of us in varying degrees as we progress in our faith. And as people of faith, we believe that Jesus came into this world to be our light, the light that drives away the darkness of sin and enables us to better see as God would have us to see. Now, our first glimpse in today's readings of how God sees is in our first reading. And it's interesting because Jesse has all these sons. And the one that gets picked is the one who wasn't there because he was out tending the sheep while the important guy came for the family feast. The least of his sons gets picked. The scripture actually says, "Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." And the prophet who was there to anoint him was like, "Wow, God picked this guy? Okay, anoint him." In fact, throughout the Old Testament, God is a God who surprises. We're amazed at his picks. The people who were first reading or hearing or telling the stories in the Old Testament would be amazed at who God picked in each one of these things. Last week, we saw God favoring Joseph over the 11 other brothers. In another place, he picks Jacob over Esau. In another place, he has Gideon reduce the size of his army down to only 300 to fight an army of thousands, because God wants it made clear that the victory would be a miracle at his hands. Coming further now into today's gospel, there's a beggar, a blind guy, someone who would have been easily overlooked, just another beggar on the side of the road as you're going about your business during the day, somebody of no importance whatsoever. Yet he's the one Jesus stops in front of. He's the one Jesus gives a great gift to. Now, first of all, Jesus dispels the very common notion of that day, that someone's illness, their deformity, their disability was directly related to their sinfulness. He says, not the way. That's not the way it is. But he does another statement that's just as equally amazing. This man's blindness is so that God's works may be made manifest, so that it can be a teaching moment right there in front of all the people and for every one of us ever since. He was blind that we might see this teaching moment. Notice how the man then, after he regains his sight, has a progression. There's a lot of back and forth. This is a very long gospel. Thank you for your patience in reading it. But they go back and forth. This one says that, that one says that. Back and forth, back and forth. And each time the blind man is asked about Jesus, he describes him in a slightly different way. At first, you know, he's just a guy that made some mud and stuck it in my eye. Okay, then he's a prophet. And then in an amazing speech to the Pharisees, which, by the way, I recommend you go back and read sometime on your own, he proclaims Jesus must be from God. And the blind guy, this little guy, this insignificant guy, is amazed at the Pharisees and the learned people who don't get that. Ultimately, he then calls Jesus Lord, which is acknowledgement of his divinity, and he worships him. And before we leave the gospel, Jesus makes one more point to the Pharisees, telling them their sin is greater for not recognizing him, despite being experts in the law, despite the advantage of knowing the law, being able to read the law and the prophets. They don't recognize the signs of the Messiah in their presence, signs which John, in his gospel, takes great pains as we progress throughout that gospel to point out. Now, for each one of us, it's like St. Paul said in his letter, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." He's referring to our baptism into the Christian faith. Before the baptism, darkness. After baptism, light. In baptism, we die to the darkness of sin and rise to the light of Christ, to become Christ's light in the world that our Lord calls us to be. In fact, during the ceremony, we light a candle, we hold it next to the one being baptized, and we say a prayer, and we issue them a plea, a request to take Christ's light out into the world with them. So as we are here now on Laetare Sunday, the halfway point of Lent, let's ask ourselves, are we bringing Christ's light into the world? What must we do to adjust our sight to see others as God sees them, or to see ourselves as God sees us? Given the benefit of the gospel message, the sacraments, and 2,000 years of the guidance of the Holy Spirit since that first Pentecost, are we open to the light? Or are we as blind as the Pharisees? When we look at the Eucharist here on the altar, do we stop at just the surface and see only the bread and wine? Or are our eyes opened by the light of faith to see as God sees the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ? If we have trouble with any of this, then today let's ask Jesus, the divine physician, to come and be the eye doctor of our souls, so that we may see. God love you.